In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
At Christmas time, you are always looking for something. You're looking for that right gift that will make you happy, and you will not have buyer's remorse. You're looking for that gift that will put joy in the heart of a spouse or a family member or a friend or a child. I suspect that even after the world has shed so quickly, December 25th, we're still looking and waiting for something or someone to make us happy. We're behind the dreams of romance and love and marriage, the college degree, the high-paying job if you're lucky. What are you waiting and looking for? And the movies that you watch and the music that you listen to and the books that you read, what is it that you are waiting and looking for? I suspect beneath all of our flesh, you are looking for what Simeon was looking for, the consolation of Israel. That is, peace in life, and finally, peace in death. For you're not just writing down your grown-up Christmas wish. The absence of lives that are torn apart, the ceasing of all wars and bloodshed. Not simply that everyone would have a friend, and that the good guys would win, and that love would never end. It's deeper than that. Much deeper. It is this, it's consolation and contentment that who you are and what you are doing is pleasing to your Father in heaven. A calm and right relationship with your Lord and with your neighbor. That is a peace which flows from identity, meaning, and purpose. For without this peace, you're dead. You are walking dead. Zombie-like, if you will, driven by a feverish search, outwardly controlled perhaps for people to see, yet inwardly an insatiable desire to find rest and peace. Like Pinocchio made to dance by the strings of Geppetto. You're wrapped and controlled by the merriment of the present moment, yet hollowed out in body and soul, perhaps just simply going through the motions. You're looking for a peace which the world cannot give. And so you must come to the place where it is given. And that's here. Your search comes to an end here. For you are in good company with Simeon and Anna today. You are in the right place, the temple of the Lord. You are in the presence of the Christ child. And all of this is according to salvation history. This is where you confess that you see the salvation of your God. This is where your frenzied flesh turns to restful flesh. Sadly, as Simeon points out, this Christ will be for many their stumbling block, their falling. They will see it as chaos, as foolishness, and without benefit. Yet Simeon also says that the peace of Christ will also be for the rising of many. That is, of hope and rescue to all those who have waited and longed for peace and rescue. Foolish though it be to the world, it will raise from the ashes the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve and seat them above the angels, beside their Lord and their God. Ironically, in the Bible, and also, I believe, in life, you see and yet you don't see. You can see and yet not see. So what do you actually see exactly? A baby boy, his parents, and two old people. That's par for the day in the temple of the Lord. That's par for today. Babies are born every day, and they are brought to the temple of the Lord by their parents. Old people, they live and they also die all the time. And they are in the temple of the Lord. And sometimes babies die in their mother's womb, and old people outlive their spouses for decades. The picture today in the scripture seems quite ordinary and plain. Too plain to be this grand peace of which it speaks of. And yet, what are you given to see? Mary, Joseph, the Christ child, Simeon, and Anna. That is what you see in the Lord's temple. So where's the peace? How shall you see finally what Simeon and Anna saw in the Christ? A light to the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. How shall the light of Christ reveal the meaning and the purpose of your life? Well, not in some haphazard way or by way of luck or fate, but graciously given by the Heavenly Father. How shall you live and die in peace? If, like Tim McGraw, the country artist, you live like you are dying, and as he sings, he says about skydiving and Rocky Mountain climbing and riding a bull named Fu Manchu, that if you were to love deeper in your relationships and you would speak nicer in your relationships and you would give more forgiveness in your relationships, that might be fun. I don't know, ride a bull. Might be more helpful to your neighbor if you spoke a little softer and not so harshly and you spoke forgiveness more often than you spoke condemnation. But checking items off your bucket list is not the peace of Christ. For neither a strident desire to live each moment like it was your last, nor despairing of every moment hoping that it was your last, will save you. If you remain centered upon your death, upon the dash between the dates of your life, the end is the same, either way. Death. No peace, just death. And so whether you seize the day with John Keating and Dead Poets Society, whereas it's come out a remake of Surfing Your Last Mammoth Wave with Patrick Swayze and Point Break to escape it all, what difference really in the end does it make? If you simply resign yourself to the fact that you're going to die someday, sooner or later, that is not the peace of Christ. It's the cold logic of Satan. It's fatalism. And faith speaks differently. Faith is not rolling the dice or spinning a chamber and thinking that some deity above you is going to make the decision. Faith rather says, yes, it's true that I will die someday, but I have already died in my Christ, in my baptism. And so, you know what? My life is now hidden in God with Christ, in the bosom of Abraham. Faith has no tryst with fate. Therefore, even though I die, yet shall I live. Faith sings of the hymnist, when my last hour draws nigh, my eyes shall then behold thee. Upon thy cross thy shall dwell. My heart by faith enfold thee. Who dieth thus dies well. Yes, we know what St. Paul says. It's far better to depart and be with Christ than to be here. But why are you here? What is the reason for your temporal life on earth? It's a grand question, and it has a very simple answer. It's your neighbor. Your neighbor. In them, there is meaning and there is purpose. For the time and the place which God has given you in this life. For already there is peace for you in Christ. For St. Paul also says, whether you live or you die, you are the Lord's. But that's not fate, as some might want to interpret it. But rather, it is until the Lord gives you a blessed end, your neighbor needs you. They need your flesh. They need your hands. Christ is the key that unlocks the Holy Gospel. He is presented to you before in the Father's house. And He is also the peace that you share with all in this place, with Simeon and Anna even, with Mary and Joseph. The firstborn fruits of Christ's death and resurrection are His. This is why parents bring their children to the Lord's house. In truth, you and all your children and all your descendants are by right God's. Because He is the Creator. This is true for all of us. This is the life that you are called to live, sanctified in the world unto the glory of God. And this is not for your own sake, but for Him who for your sake died and rose again. But this gift is not simply for you. Yes, it's personal, but it's also corporate. Corporate coming from the Latin corpus, body of Christ. For you do not die alone, but you die within His body, within the many members of the church. Thus, the peace that you are looking for is not simply for your own comfort and salvation, like some sort of Grinch, but for the redemption of Jerusalem and for the consolation of Israel. You find the peace that you are looking for in Him, and also you find your neighbor. Your fathers, your mothers, your sons, your daughters, your babies, your old people, your young people. In loving Him, you love them, and in loving them, you love Him. You are the body of Christ. Consider that reality. And think about the Anna that sits next to you in the pew. For her piety and her prayers are yours. They avail for you. Think about Simeon sitting in the front pews ahead of you, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and that his piety and his devotion is yours as well. They avail for you and they strengthen your faith. Think about the Joseph sitting in the middle of the pews with his family, his quiet obedience, perhaps his lovely singing. This is all yours as well. It avails for your comfort and your peace. Think about the Mary who lives according to the Word of God, and she ponders the treasures of Christ in her heart, who bears children and cares for them in love. Her faithfulness and her loving service are yours and avails to embolden your faith and your life of mercy to others. But this is not to say that you are saved by your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's simply to say that you are tied to them in Christ. You belong to them even as they belong to you, as you all belong to Christ, taken up in the ark of the body of Christ. That's your identity. That's your purpose. But how do you live that way? What do you do with yourself day in and day out? Well, in some ways it's simple, but it's difficult. If you're a parent, then you bring your children up in the fear and love of the Lord. You're to bring them to the temple, have them baptized, teach them His word, bring them to His table, teach them to pray, to sing, to confess. If you're a husband or wife, live in peace with your husband and wife until death parts you. If you are a widow or you are single, stay in the temple as Anna did. Serve day and night with prayers and supplications for all. Love your neighbor and know that your true family is not the bloodline of your generations, but the bloodline of Christ. And if you are a young or old man, know that it's a manly thing to come to church, to be in church, to pray and to confess, to sing and rejoice. That it's a manly thing to take care of your family. And if you have not one, like Simeon, to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to take little children up into your arms, and confess with gladness that this is God's gift of life and His joy. You see, to belong to the body of Christ is to bear with your neighbor patiently and in love to share their burdens as your very own. Which means not only your time and your sweat, your money and assistance as the needs present themselves, but it also means above all else that you forgive your neighbor in whatever sin that he or she has sinned against you. For there is peace in such gift of the forgiveness of sins. It's the peace that you have been looking for your entire life, like Simeon. And this peace, it's never moved. It's always been and Mary's infant son, and the Christ, and the one who resides in His Father's house, in the temple of God. And what shall you do when you are in His temple? Note very clearly the offertory in Divine Service Setting 1 and the language it uses. We confess that you will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. You will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. You will pay your vows to the Lord now in the presence of His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, in the body of Christ, in the flesh of Christ. You shall have the peace you desire, not only in this life, but also in the life to come, not only in weariness and sorrow, but also in your very death, that blessed death which Christ gives you by His Son. For this is the blessed work of the little child who has come to us in His flesh, the child born of the Virgin Mary, this little child that shall lead you into the new heavens and the new earth. In this child, death is dead, and only life remains. And that simple truth, is why you depart in peace this day and every day of your earthly life. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.